Welcome back to the fifth episode of the Real College Reviews podcast. I'm here today with my good friend Ryan Peeney, who goes to Virginia Tech. Ryan, want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, so my name is Ryan Peeney. I'm a rising sophomore at Virginia Tech, and I'm studying data science.
All right, first question right off the bat. Can you just explain to myself and everyone listening what data science is?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a new thing, data science. It's basically, if you were to mix and match like statistics and computer science or coding, like if the two of them had a baby, data science is kind of the product of that.
So it's kind of like a STEM kind of thing. Like, are you coding a lot or is it a lot of math? Like,
yeah, it is a very big STEM thing. It kind of hits all four of the STEM things: science, tech, engineering, and math. It's a lot of coding. I'm someone who picked up coding my junior year with a class in high school and, you know, I've ran with it ever since. I started out really in more of the statistics department, which is the other big part of data science.
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my class is, even this upcoming semester, it's almost only just math and computer science, which I know to the main person or to a lot of people, you know, it may seem like a lot, but
a little intimidating. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I absolutely love it, so.
I mean, honestly, as long as you love it, that's really all that matters. Yeah. But I got asked too, as a freshman, did you take a lot of gen eds or was it more major geared classes? How does Virginia Tech do it for freshmen?
It's a lot of both. I came in with a lot of credits from AP or a decent amount, so it kind of was a little bit different for me than other people. But like I had to take an English class each semester that was very gen ed. Took a couple of gen eds such as a psych class, and you know, I took a class on fossils, even just a random fossil class, but
like get a requirement out of the way.
Yeah, but on top of that, there were a couple computer science classes, a couple calculus classes, and then, you know, what they do with a lot of majors at Virginia Tech in the first semester, you have sort of like an intro class where it's really just a bunch of guest lectures and, you know, meeting people. You know, they had a couple of days where they bring in maybe some employers, some past graduates,
yeah,
and they kind of talk about their work experience, which those things were very interesting just to, you know, see what it's like later on. Like, oh, I'm a freshman now, but, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, I'm going to be looking for those internships, those opportunities, and I want to build those connections with people.
Yeah, that's great. So it seems like it's a really healthy mix of just getting some of your requirements out of the way and then also getting your foot in the door for your major, which I think is great. I know a lot of schools do it that way. Syracuse, where I go, does it that way too, which I thought was really great to just get you integrated into the campus.
Yeah.
And just keep on going with classes. Virginia Tech is a pretty big school. Like how many students do you know off the top of your head if you do the student body?
Yeah, the number I know my freshman class was north of 9,000.
Oh, wow.
The number's in the mid-30s. I always tell people 36,000. I think it's a bit high. I know the plan is eventually, it's not going to be while I'm there, to get it to 50,000. It's a really massively growing school. I know my class was the largest at its time, and I think the incoming freshman class even trumps that. So it's becoming a really big school. I mean, it's very big in the DMV, like that area. It's still big up here, not as much, but it's a growing school. It's already a big school, though.
Yeah, so you said it's really big in you know, kind of the Mid-Atlantic region. Do you see a lot of New Jersey kids there, though?
A lot, yes. There's a lot of New Jersey kids. Some of my closest friends are from New Jersey. I mean, I'm friends with a kid from Verona, so just even a town over. I know kids from, you know, like a bunch of Essex County, Morris County, a lot of them even from South Jersey. My roommate from last year was from Rumson Fairhaven in Monmouth County. So even though it's a school in Virginia where, for me, it's a 7 to 8 hour trek to get there, you see a lot of New Jersey, which even other colleges I've seen, like a bit more south, you still see New Jersey everywhere. I mean, it seems like people from New Jersey sort of flock to everywhere else as well as staying in state. So we're everywhere. That's kind of, I've come to realize that.
It's almost a growing trend that I've seen, not just from my own interviews, but just from the internet in general, that so many kids, it's a big thing up north where they all like to go to school down south, which I you know, hey, whatever you want to do, as long as you're happy, really, that's my motto.
Yeah, I mean, even through just meeting people at other colleges, like I spent like a day at Tennessee. Like, I've met people even on spring break when I was there, like, I've met a bunch of kids from going to University of Georgia and other SEC schools, and so many of them say that they're from little old New Jersey.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, very densely populated state, but not a huge state, but, I mean, you see people from New Jersey everywhere. It's ridiculous, almost.
Yeah, we're everywhere, but I gotta ask, too. Virginia Tech, you said, has about 9,000 kids per class, so it's a very, very large school student body-wise. Are your classes big? Are they lecture halls, or, you know, is it a split, or are they mostly smaller-sized classes?
Depends. Like that psych class that I took earlier there were two 500 person sections. I took the final in the main like auditorium with 1,000 people, which of course came with problems. But but then there's like my English classes and my calculus classes, which, you know, those are smaller, like 20 person. I know next semester I have like classes. Some of them have like about 100. Like my major class has about 90 to 100 people, and then there's the smaller classes with 20 to 30. I mean, as time goes on, they'll get to be smaller classes. Outside of the gen eds and like those introductory classes, the size isn't really as big as you would expect. Those 500, 400 person classes sort of narrow down, and then you get more, maybe a couple hundred person classes. But a lot of classes, even then, 20, 30 people is sort of the number they like to be at for a lot of the more intricate classes.
So really at Virginia Tech, you know, as you start as a first semester freshman, it's almost like a gradual decrease in the amount of 100%. Kids in your classes.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And did you find it hard in your big lecture halls to pay attention or get access to the professors?
I mean, sort of. At first, it was a big adjustment because it's something that I really never experienced. I mean, coming from a school, we graduated with, you know, 230 kids just about, and the classes were barely above 20 people, so huge difference. But when it came down to it, it was just, you know, figuring out how to, like, I feel like it's more on the lecturer themselves and being able to understand what they want to do. That psych class was weird because there were two different professors throughout it, so I had to sort of adapt to two different ways of learning, but a lot of it was really just taking the material and then being able to revise and sort of understand it. And it really taught me that, you know, like, you don't need to be able to learn in a small environment. In these bigger environments, you can still succeed as long as you put effort towards it.
So really, it's kind of takes a little bit to adapt, especially if you come from a smaller school like you did. But as long as you put in effort, as long as you study, you'll be fine.
Yeah, 100%.
And overall, the professors, are they good? Are they accessible? And then the question I ask every single person I interview, and it's always a yes, is do you use Rate My Professors?
Do I use Rate My Professor? Yes, 100%. Makes me excited because I see now I have a couple that have been viewed really well. My calculus professor from the first semester last year was his first time teaching. And then I go and Rate My Professor afterwards and see that, just like I did, everyone loved him. But had my experiences with some not so great professors, my Calc 2 professor in the spring, where I dropped out of the class. He had came from the University of Hawaii, and between both universities, he was not rated very well. Rate My Professor is a great tool that, I mean, before I went to college, I sort of knew, and I was like, I'm not going to need it that much. And now I'm like, I use it all the time. But overall, I feel like the professors are pretty good. Most of them are accessible. I've sort of seen both sides of the spectrum with like amazing professors who go above and beyond. And then I've sort of seen the side where, you know, maybe a little bit tough to learn or tough to access. But I feel like overall, I mean, it wouldn't be as good of a school as it is if the professors weren't awesome.
I think that's a great way to put it. And also, I think as you get, you know, you're taking a psych class, like, I don't think you're not someone who's really interested in psychology, right?
Not so much.
Yeah. And I had the same way. I had to take an astronomy class. It's like a gen ed thing. It's like the professor could be fine, but if you're not interested in it, like, you're not going to be as inclined to learn and put in time. But really, as you're saying, it's a mixed bag. Or at least you've seen both sides of the spectrum, as you put it. The professors are still very good because Virginia Tech, you know, just for anyone who doesn't know, is still a very, very prestigious, would that be the right way to say it?
Academic
school, especially
for
engineering programs that, I know you're not an engineer, but more science-y STEM programs too. And moving on more towards students at Virginia Tech, what are some characteristics of the typical VT student? And do you see yourself as a typical Virginia Tech student?
Yeah, I'd say I fit the bill as a Virginia Tech student. One of the first things I kind of heard to describe students was really in a very simple phrase that many people have said, work hard, party hard, is sort of the motto and shared across other schools as well. But it works because, you know, even the people that I know, and a lot, it takes a lot of time and you're going to be putting a lot of effort towards school, but somehow when those weekends come, everyone finds time to, you know, enjoy themselves and let loose a little bit. So even though during the week it's a lot of buildup, and I understand, I've sort of helped out people there and experienced what, you know, like a real workload could be. Studying for finals is not easy. When there's a big project, you know, it's going to take a lot of time and you're going to have to sort of zone in, and like everything else is going to have to go out the window. But whenever there's free time, we like to take advantage of it. And that's sort of what it is at Virginia Tech. I mean, it's a little weird because Blacksburg, Virginia is sort of in the middle of nowhere compared to other campuses. Like if you're going to a city school, like even like, let's say Pitt, for example, where it's in Pittsburgh and a lot of the fun is going around Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
For Virginia Tech, it's really just being able to be with your people and using the limited resources in Blacksburg to your advantage to just have the best time possible.
So you said being with your people is really a key to having fun. Do you think finding a really solid friend group is key to having a great time at Virginia Tech socially?
Yes, it's a school where I think you need to be able to find a group to do something, but I don't think it's necessarily a hard thing to do. You know, there's so many organizations, whether it's, you know, like doing something with people from your major or, you know, joining a Greek organization or, you know, there's so many different interest groups. Like I've met people who they like fishing. There's a fly fishing club. Perfect.
Oh, really?
For them. Yeah. Or joining a club sports team. There's a million club sports. So, you know, there's always going to be something for your interest. So it's really just being able to go out there, introduce yourself and say, I'm interested in this. You're interested in this. Let me join. And then that's really it. That's all you have to do to find your group. You may not find you. For me, it took a while. It took about a month. But once I got my people, I enjoyed my time so much more.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's, from the way you put it, there's so much to do. Like, no matter what my interests are, that I'm going to find something to have some fun at Virginia Tech. And Greek life was definitely something I wanted to ask you about now that you've touched on it. I have not interviewed so far anyone on the show that's in Greek life or knows a lot about Greek life. I guess just give me a rundown of the rush process at Virginia Tech and maybe some stories or any suggestions for anyone planning to rush, not just at Virginia Tech, but a fraternity at any other school.
Yeah, so Virginia Tech, last year was the first year. Virginia has a rule called Adams Law. It's a statewide rule because sadly there is an incident early on in the pledging process at VCU ended tragic with and it involved alcohol. So, you know, anything of that regard is you risk jail time doing it. So compared to other schools, what I've heard, I know a lot of them will do what's called dirty rush, which is sort of a term basically saying we're going to have rush events where there's alcohol involved. And Virginia, it's not a school where you can do that, so you have to get a bit creative. Whether that's, you know, a lot of times it's grilling or having a cookout, and even sometimes it'll be a seafood boil people will do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's a bit creative, the rush process, and, you know, maybe a little bit different than other schools where I know, example, the school right to the right of us, UVA or University of Virginia, what they do is they'll spend the fall semester, there's no rush process, but a lot of it is open parties, and it's sort of the people within the fraternity will sort of observe the guys there and keep mental notes, and then when rush comes around in the spring, they sort of know with us. We have it each semester, so it's really just, if you're someone who's rushing, it's sort of just be able to go to as many as possible. Sort of know what you want. Do you want one that's really big? Do you want one where you're going to be close to people? Like, what do you want within one? And then the biggest thing is you got to talk to the people, because that was sort of where I knew where once I found people that it was just generally comfortable to talk with. Like, I didn't feel like I had to come in with a script or, you know, say, hey, I'm Ryan, this is what I do, this is what you want from me. I would like just being able to be genuine and just hold a conversation wherever you can do that the most and feel comfortable is probably the best place for you.
So if I were to rush, just finding what group of guys that I feel most comfortable with is key and where I'm going to have the best time.
Yeah, because when it comes down to it, these are going to be the guys who are most likely going to be your friends for the next 4 years. And once you leave college, the guys you're going to be able to reach out to. So you're before anything else, you're going to want to be friends with them. You know, sometimes people just, you know, chase the letters or chase what is seen as like top or big. And, you know, it leaves them with not really having that connection, but being able to say they're a part of something big, where it's almost better, I feel like, just to be with the people you're close with and then grow from there.
I definitely agree. I know I'm not involved in Greek life at Syracuse, but I mean, the way you put it makes absolute sense, and I've heard so many people say the exact same thing. Just, you're a part of which fraternity?
Zeta Beta Tau, ZBT.
What do you guys really do? Like, I know, I mean, obviously you guys throw parties, but besides that, what do you guys do, ZBT, as an organization?
So it's one of the two big, like, Jewish fraternities, not, and with the other one being Alpha Epsilon Pi or AE Pi. So a lot of it, there usually is, like, we're required to have what's called, like, a heritage event. So the fall semester, there's like an MMA place on the outskirts of Blacksburg. So we went there and we learned what's called Krav Maga, which is sort of like the Israelis, like defense, a lot of hand-to-hand combat. And then in the spring, it was sort of, we had someone come over and sort of like teach the basics of Passover and all that. And it's about getting creative with the events, because it's not you don't have to be Jewish to be in the fraternity. I'm only really half Jewish, and I'm on the more Jewish side of it. So it's really about getting people who, you know, may not be Jewish or understand it that much to be interested and excited for these events. There's always philanthropy, which is both doing other organizations and our own with our own, you know, it's always exciting. There's a bunch of different stuff you get to do. I know in the fall, like, our big thing was we had a carnival. You know, there's a mechanical bull and all this other fun stuff. And then in the spring, there was a baseball game where a proceed of the ticket sales went to our philanthropy. And there was also a thing where, you know, you could sign up and pledge a different amount of money depending on what happened. Like, you can say, every time a home run is hit, I will give $50.
Oh, that's cool.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's really creative.
It's just fun ways to raise money. And, you know, it was the first time I ever went to a Virginia Tech baseball game, and it was an awesome experience. So it's just another, like, and on top of, you know, doing good and raising for charity, it's also, like, you get to do these fun things and, like, you know, go see a sports event or, like, even, like, as the mechanical bull. Like, get to ride a mechanical bull. Not something you can do every day. So it's really just being able to, you know, do new experiences while also doing it for a good cause.
Yeah, so obviously, like, you do get the party scene. That's a benefit of joining a fraternity. 100%. But also, you're allowed to get kind of creative, too, and get out and about in the community, not only at Virginia Tech, but, you know, just, I know you traveled to Tennessee, right? Well, your fraternity, too.
Yeah, I did go to Tennessee, and in Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg, which is sort of on the eastern side of it. It's about 4 hours from Blacksburg. And yeah, that was just another fun experience. If you would have told me, you know, a couple of years ago, junior year of high school, let's say, you would be spending a weekend in Tennessee, I would have said you're crazy. but yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't like a fraternity run thing, just even with the people I've met, I've been able to visit all these great places I never would have really thought, like Tennessee. Been down to South Carolina and saw that campus. It's awesome. You know, spring break, I went down with a couple people to Panama City, which is a place where a lot of people know. And through that,
it's also not in Panama, because some people think it's in Panama.
Not in Panama. Panama City Beach. And then, you know, through that also, so we took a detour and went through Florida State. Never would have thought I saw that campus. And I mean, as someone who is a college football fan, seeing Doak Campbell was awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being able to do all these things that I never would have even like thought of doing is sort of, if anything, the best part of it.
100%. But outside of Greek life, I know you said Blacksburg isn't really a place where there's a lot happening, but is there any sort of like bar life or parties for people who aren't in Greek life? And be honest with me here.
Well, when it comes to bars, there's one or two bars that are really for those who are not 21. Outside of that, it's a place where you can spend your 21st and have a very memorable one, because it's sort of like an introduction to the real scene within Blacksburg, because underage you're really not going to get to. Outside of that, freshman year, you could, depending on where you're living, you know, there's going to be people who will just have fun in their dorms depending on the dorm itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people have stuff in apartments, or there'll be the other, like some of the clubs will have stuff. So there is other stuff going on. It's just, it may be a little bit tougher to find or access all of that. And even then, doing it, you'd probably want at least a couple guys to be with you for that. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a couple guys with you, you could do almost anything wherever. Like, that, you could have the most fun time in the world with three other guys. And three guys and no plan, it'll be a great night.
I definitely agree with that. I know from my experience, that's definitely true. But moving on sort of to the campus, on a pure aesthetic basis, just walking around Virginia Tech, is it pretty? Do you like looking at the campus every day, or you're kind of just like, you know, gagging in your mouth at how ugly it is?
It is a beautiful campus. It's my favorite campus I've visited, and even the other campuses I've been to have been nice. It's unbelievable. I mean, when I came to visit it the first time, it was, you know, just about 2 years ago. It was early August in 2021, and it was the first time I really fell in love with the campus. And even then, like, walking back from my last final, getting ready to leave, I'm still walking across. So what we have, or the campus itself, because just for visual purposes, a bit easier to explain. So the campus is in two parts.
Okay.
There's what's called residential campus, which has all the dorms, basically that. And then there's academic campus, all the academic buildings, with what's called the drill field in the middle. It's called the drill field because if for people who don't know, Virginia Tech is has the Corps of Cadets, which,
what's that?
So the Corps of Cadets is sort of like the military side of it. It's very popular there. You know, there's a few thousand people. It's huge.
And, it's a really big organization.
That's also a bit of a weird part, you know, being peers or walking to campus with people dressed in full military uniform. So that the drill field gets the name because it's used for a lot of the Corps Cadets drills. I believe it's the biggest grass field a part of a campus. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous in size. But even then, walking across it at the end of the year, I'll just stand there and look around the campus and think, like, I actually go to school here. Like, this place is beyond beautiful. It's like, and the unique thing about Virginia Tech is they, all the buildings use the same stone called Hokie stone. It's a type of limestone. So it is a very interesting thing seeing every single building look different with the same material.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it.
I think it's really cool. I know TCNJ too. I remember when I toured there. I've never been to the campus of Virginia Tech, yeah. But I know TCNJ, a lot of the buildings are brick. And it really is nice. It kind of gives it a unique look. And it's like, you look at a picture of a building, it's like, oh, that's at Virginia Tech because it uses the Hokie stone, which I like. I think it's really cool, like, to identify. It's just another great way to be like, yeah, that's my school and I'm proud of it, really.
100%.
And you talked about the residential side. So it's like, is it like completely divided? Is it almost like you could tell when you're on the residential side?
I mean, the buildings itself don't look crazy different, but you can tell because the way it's set up on the residential side is it'll be like dorms with a sort of like a grassy or like an area in the middle. And
yeah.
They all come with like a volleyball court. Sometimes one of them has a basketball court and they're called quads. There's different quads.
Yeah.
So you could kind of tell when you're there versus the academic side where the buildings are a little bit more illustrious, a bit bigger.
Yeah,
they need to fit more people. The residential side's a little bit older, so when you go to that newer academic side, especially some of the newest buildings they're building, it's a lot more glass, it's a lot more modern looking, and those are the buildings where you really look at and you're like, oh wow, versus the residential side, the building, some of them may not look the greatest, and some, there's a lot of stories and history behind some of them, but the dorms are just as big as a part as the academic side.
Interesting. And I'm just going to ask about the dorm rooms too. Like, are they nice? Are they big? What are some good things and some bad things about them? I can already hear you giggling.
Yeah, so it depends on the dorm. There's the suite style and all that. And the suites are very nice. Comes with a big, you know, like living area with the other side. And those ones are nice. I had a friend who lived in one. And, you know, it's awesome when you have that living area. Then there's the rest, which is the traditional style, which the stories and your parents say, your dorm life. That's what they're referring to. Virginia Tech, there's two dorms in particular which are sort of infamous. Pritchard Hall, where I stayed, and then Slusser Hall, which that dorm will be going down soon. Stories from there. I mean, Slusser Hall, there is, I believe it was in my fall semester. On the 11th, it's a 12-story, it's a tower.
Oh, it's a big hall.
Yeah, so there's the tower and then the wing. The wing is not the nicest, but okay. The tower is just about the worst
It's like the Tower of Terror.
Great way to put it, yeah. So it's late at night, 2-3 in the morning. I'm already asleep at this point, and someone on the 11th floor throws a football, hits a sprinkler head, floods everything from the 11th floor down.
Oh,
so it displaced a few hundred students. I know there were students, they were texting, calling everyone they knew, trying to get into their dorms. I know a few people who, you know, went to the library, just like put chairs together, slept there.
Wow.
A bunch of them, you know, had to be located to a hotel nearby. So that place is really bad. The other thing, that for some reason they have bathtubs in there, and it's like,
like a nightmare.
It's exactly as bad as you'd assume. And then with mine in Pritchard Hall, I was okay with it because, you know, it's pretty disgusting. The walls themselves are painted yellow for some reason.
Oh, my God.
If you know what the back rooms are, it looks like the back rooms. The showers are a mess. The weekends when the cleaning services wouldn't be there, it's living basically like a farm animal. People are disgusting is what I've learned.
Yeah, but that's anywhere too, not just at
MBT. But you know, at first it was like, it was good at first because it was a place where I can walk around and just meet people. And I knew, I was like, I can just meet the most random people, go with them and I'll have a good time. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So people are very laid back there. And like, it's a great place to have a good time, but you're going to have to sacrifice your living conditions. That was something I was willing to sacrifice. I talked to my roommate. We both were like, it's better to be really social for this first year
and
take the cut on, you know, living nice where we could live in these suite style. But we want to meet as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did. We're basically everyone in our hallway we were sort of friends with. And, you know, going around meeting people, so many people in my classes, you know, they just say, oh, I'm from Pritchard Hall or this. Like, you just meet so many people who share that. It's all a shared experience. Me and 1,000 other people shared the same experience last year. So we spent all the big with fire alarms, which actually I totally forgot until now. There, you can look up, there's a count. Someone through Virginia Tech keeps a count on how many fire alarms there have been in each dorm.
Oh, my God. How many,
a lot is the answer. A lot of sleepless nights because of them, but I wouldn't trade it for anything else. Now that it's over, I loved every part of it.
It's almost like a rite of passage, too.
100%.
Like your freshman year, horrible living conditions, but it almost makes it better that everyone's going through that misery with you.
Yeah. That's why it's, you know, everyone else is going through too. It's not just yourself.
Yeah. And your roommate too, you said that you talked to him too about like, your situation and your plans for your freshman year. Did you like your roommate by the end of it? And also, as a freshman, did you get to choose your dorm?
Freshman, yeah, I got to choose the dorm. We actually had pretty good selection because I put down my deposit a bit earlier than others. So that was good. It was up and down with my roommate. You know, he knew a couple other guys from around, like, he was friends with beforehand. So yeah, it was good early on. I was able to go with them for a lot. But the up and down, you know, there were times where I would come back from, you know, maybe like DDing or something with, and all that. I'd come back at a really late hour. You know, all I want to do is go to sleep. And, you know, it'd be like 3-4 in the morning and he's, you know, doing whatever. The stories are hilarious and far between with him. But, you know, at the end of it, like at first, there were times I really was not a fan. But now that it's, you know, it's been a couple months, I didn't mind it. Because I left there and I don't have to, you know, deal with those sleepless nights. Yeah. Or, you know, deal with anything else like that anymore. And I'm like, you know what? It was a fun time with him. So I enjoyed it.
So I'm gonna guess you're not rooming with him again next year.
I'm not rooming with him again next year, but he's someone, you know, if I see him around campus, I'm not gonna avoid him. I'll say hi, strike up a conversation.
Yeah, so it was like a normal experience.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
And are you living off campus next year?
I am, yes. So most people do. It's very common to do so. So there's a bunch of different apartments. In October of last year, one of the kids who now is probably one of my closest friends at Virginia Tech, he had a lease for an apartment and he said, I need three other guys. So I just jumped right on it and said, put me on. And
yeah.
And then two other guys said yes. And that's how we got it. So
I guess I got to ask too, how early, if you're a freshman at Virginia Tech and you want to live off campus for your sophomore year, how early do you have to get a lease on an apartment?
It's hard to say because of course everyone's going to say do it earlier, but that can backfire. If if you're going to do it early, you have to feel very confident
with the people you're going to room with.
Like, yeah. That's why when I did it, I'm like, I know all the people I'm living with, I want to live with, and I will be completely fine with it. So, but they do run out, so you have to sort of be on top of it. But one of the other kids I'm friends with, he basically did it very early and signed a lease back in like early September with the kids.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, because it is very competitive for those nice ones.
And yeah.
He's living with the kids he lived with last year, but then, you know, as time went on, he realized I'm not as close to these guys
as he once.
He wasn't able
to
back out with it, and it's like a little weird situation where he's like, I'm living with them, but I'm not really friends with them. So it's best to find your crew, and then once you find your crew,
immediately jump on something.
It should be one of the first things you guys really discuss because they will fly away.
Yeah, I know that's the same way at a ton of other schools. A ton of other schools also. I wonder if this happens at Virginia Tech too, because it's a large school, a large public school. First of all, is housing guaranteed your sophomore year?
I don't believe so. Unless, like, you're a transfer, then I don't think it is. I can't really say because I didn't look very into it because it was never really an option. I sort of, right away, was like, I'll live freshman year. And then after that, I'm just going somewhere else. Yeah.
Now, what I was wondering is that, like, I know sometimes rising sophomores, they want to live on campus for their sophomore year. And then eventually, like, by the time they select, there's no housing left. And then because all the leases are taken up, they get stuck with a really bad apartment or a bad house. Have you heard of any of that happening at Virginia Tech, or is that just doesn't happen at?
I really haven't heard many stories like that. I also don't feel like there's are many places that are necessarily awful to live at.
Okay, that's good.
Each place has their, you know, reason to live there. Some of them it's because it's a very nice place close to campus. Some of them it's because there's multiple bus stops to get to campus. Some of them it's just it's cheap. Some can fit a lot of people. So there's really no place that's like seen as the worst place. Every place,
that's good then. Yeah.
Everywhere has their pros and cons. Some have more than others. Yeah. But you're really never going to be in an awful place in Blacksburg.
Well, that's good because I know a lot of, especially if you're in more of an urban setting compared to Blacksburg, you could get stuck somewhere pretty bad. But that's good to hear. I mean, obviously, no matter where you are, pros and cons are gonna, and there's gonna be different ones, and some might have more. Yeah. But as long as you're not gonna be miserable where you're living. To me, that's a good thing. And I think you could agree with this, too, based on what you've said throughout the whole thing, is that if you're with a great group of guys or just a great group of people, you're going to be happy, really, no matter where you are.
Yeah, because even if you're living in a bad place but you like the people you're living with, whatever, like, it's going to be a time that you can look back and say, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember when we lived in this awful apartment. You know, the four of us, we had a great time, or whatever, however many people. So you don't really need, it's better to live in a place with people you like that's also a little lower in quality than live in a high quality place with people you're not as close with, because then it just becomes a little bit of an awkward relationship there.
And that's something I learned too my freshman year at college. And I know you said, going back to the dorm rooms, that the cleanliness, especially in yours, wasn't the best, but
no.
How are the dining halls on campus? Because that's always a fun topic of conversation, no matter the college.
Yeah, so if you've ever been on a tour at Virginia Tech, there are three things that all tour guides are, you know, going to say. First, football games are like a holy grail there, obviously. Second, first time it snows, there's going to be a snowball fight on the drill field. And then number three, the most said thing on campus, Virginia Tech dining hall is rated number two in the country.
Is everywhere. That true in your mind?
I mean, is the food great? Yes, I would rate it highly. The biggest negative is, for some reason, there's like one of the places will serve like bowls, like sort of like if you put like Chipotle or Cava,
yeah,
like different nationality bowls. And for some reason, they love to just sneak jalapenos in there because no one wants them.
Oh, no, that can be dangerous.
And it's like one of those mildly infuriating things. But yeah, the food at times can be amazing. Compared to the other places I've visited, it's night and day. It honestly is very good, just... it's still, you could tell, is dining hall food, but it is very good food. There's really nothing to complain about, and everything's very accessible. The system is awesome for it, and the food's really good. I would say for dining hall, it's very good.
So really, it's not like, I know a lot of other students, the dining hall was great for like the first month, it's unlimited food, you know, it's not home cooked, so like, I mean, depending on, you know, your mother and father, that's either a good or bad thing, but a lot of people, including myself, got sick of it after a while. You didn't really get sick of it as much as a lot of other people.
Well, no, because there are a lot of options, I'll say that. Like, we have, obviously, like, every place has the main dining hall where, you know, it's that all you can eat and keep going. I try not to go there a lot because, like, that place is not as great. But, you know, there's the place that serves a lot of bowls. We're lucky enough to have, like, a Chick-fil-A on campus, so that's nice.
Some every college has, but Syracuse, I gotta tell you.
That is
makes
true.
Me mad every time I have one of these shows and someone says they have a Chick-fil-A.
But then there's also, like, there's a place that, you know, serves, like more Southern cuisine-style food. I mean, there's even a place where they sell sushi, where I am friends with one of the dudes who makes sushi there, and he couldn't be more redneck. I don't know how he does it. It's almost comical that he does it. But there's so many different options where if you're getting tired of one thing, even though it may be a little annoying to get to, you could find something else. So it's really never a problem.
And I guess it's another pro with a big school like VT. And also, I got to ask, because it's in a very rural part of Virginia, right?
Yeah.
So is more, but you also said there's a lot of kids from New Jersey and up north as well. Do you get more of a Southern culture vibe or more of a Northern culture vibe, or is it kind of a mix? Like, can you really tell?
I'd say it's very mixed. I know, like, there's a lot of people I know from the North, like the New Jersey people, you could tell they're from New Jersey.
Oh, of course you can.
It's very easy to spot the Jersey guys, but there are the people that are the Southern type, like real country, all that, like the sayings, the accents, you can tell they're Southern. What I've come to realize is, because a lot of them, like the two main groups of people that go to Virginia Tech are New Jersey and Nova, which to most people from the North, Nova means Villanova.
Yeah.
I thought that for a while. It means Northern Virginia. It took me a while, which is like around the D.C. area, Alexandria, Arlington, like that area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those people, you know, it's a lot more because they're near D.C., like an urban area. It's not as countries you'd expect. Mm-hmm. Like, you think of Virginia, I mean, first thing outside of, like, maybe Colonial, all that, like Williamsburg, you think of it, I would say, as more of a Southern side.
Yeah.
But the people I've met outside of, like, the Richmond people, or, you know, the people near Blacksburg, everyone else is, you know, not crazy as Southern as I would have thought, especially, like Tennessee is a lot more Southern, and it's only...
That's what I've heard,
just,
too.
Yeah, and it's a school only 4 hours away from us to the west.
It's not even further south, it's just...
it's not even farther south, it's just a lot more... I guess there's a lot more Southern people that go there than here. But
yeah.
I mean, I don't really get too much of a Southern vibe from Virginia Tech. It feels at times very normal. Like, it feels like I'm at home to it. Like, I don't see much of a difference.
And, you know, something that is a big thing in the South, I know it's a huge thing at Virginia Tech. I know it was a big thing for you going there, the football games.
Yes.
What's the experience like, you know, on a Saturday, just going down to the stadium and watching your team play?
Well, yeah, like you said, I mean, it was one of the things that was... Going to a school where football, really sports, were big was probably outside of the academics was the number one thing. And Virginia Tech, you know, I grew up sort of as a college football fan, you know, as a, more of a Notre Dame fan, where they would always play Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
So I came in knowing about, you know, the entrance, Enter Sandman and all that. And then you sort of learn as you get on, there's the tailgate on what's called Center Street, which even though it's sort of taken a toll back, it's still this unbelievable thing where it's just the whole campus, you know, like getting excited for a game in this area of town right by the football. And then, of course, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unlike anything I've ever been a part of. And I'm as shocked as it is because, as you know, they were awful, 3-8, not great. But it's still shocking, the start of every game. Like, the one that'll stand out outside of the first Boston College game, first night game, everyone says is going to be one of your best moments at the school. I can agree. We were playing Wofford, one of the worst FCS schools in the nation. 11 o'clock kickoff, like a rise and grind.
Yeah.
And to see it was a team where we knew they weren't going to be great, but still, packed stands, everyone's there.
Yeah.
And of course, like, everyone wants to go for the Enter Sandman, the entrance, jump, crazy, yada, yada, yada. But every single game I went to, full stands, no matter, we kept losing. And, you know, maybe as halftime went, there was less people there.
Yeah.
But for the start of the game, it's always rowdy, it's big. And then same with the basketball, too. The basketball team, wee bit better. But between those two sports, it is massive. People, when was one of the biggest reasons why I went there, the community part. And it's just everyone who's there cares so much, no matter how good or bad. Like, there's just a passion for Virginia Tech that is shared among so many people that no matter how awful they can be, there will be passionate fans filling the stadium, which is amazing to me.
So unlike a lot of other places, especially professional sports and definitely a lot of other colleges, mm-hmm. it's a spirited school, right? Everyone is proud to be at Virginia Tech and rep their school.
The spirit at Virginia Tech is unrivaled from almost any other school.
And I think that's amazing. I know. That's something that's great because it's like, you see someone else wearing a Virginia Tech shirt on the street, especially even back home in New Jersey, and it's like, oh, like...
That's honestly, if there's anything that surprised me the most, it's how much you see people wearing Virginia Tech stuff. Like,
is it often?
It's very often. Like, you know, obviously when you think of big schools up here, I feel like the first school that comes to mind is probably Penn State.
I was gonna, yeah.
Like, it's the whole We Are and all that, and you see people everywhere wearing Penn State. And, you know, before I really started looking into colleges, that was a school where I know you will see Penn State people everywhere.
Yeah.
But ever since I started looking at Virginia Tech, I've sort of came to realize there's a lot more. Like, every place I've gone, there's always been someone wearing Virginia Tech representing.
Oh, really?
Like, a couple weeks ago, or I guess about a month ago at this point, went to New York City, saw multiple people wearing Virginia Tech stuff. And I'll never forget when... So it was... Just over 2 years ago, I went to the city and we left whatever the train station, I can't remember the name. Not Penn Station, the one by the World Trade Center.
I'm not a big New York City guy, but I get what you're saying.
We went out and there was a dude wearing a Virginia Tech backpack. And, you know, I was with one of the other kids from Caldwell who was going there and mm-hmm. talked for like 20 minutes just about Virginia Tech. And it was just like, that's such an amazing thing to me. But even like when I went up to Rhode Island, we saw a group of fresh graduates from Virginia Tech. Last summer when I went to the Dominican, we were sat next to a Virginia Tech family. Wherever you go, it's a place where you see people representing. And even though it was never a school I really thought was like that. Like, I knew Virginia Tech was like a passionate school, but I also think it was a school where you could see it everywhere you go. Virginia Tech is represented so well, which is just an amazing thing to me.
So it's almost like a big base of students and alumni just everywhere. Yeah. Like, it's almost like connections are, you could find them
no matter
where you are.
Yeah, I thought it was
just
going to be in like the Virginia,
DMV
area.
I would too, yeah.
But it's everywhere. Just as frequent up here to see someone wear Virginia Tech. I mean, hop on any of the major highways, hop on the parkway, hop on the turnpike, and if you're on there for at least an hour, you're guaranteed to see at least one or two people with a VT sticker on there, 100%.
And I know, at least up in New Jersey, like, I mean, my eyes probably aren't as trained to see that type of stuff as you are, but I see it all the time, too, which is surprising just because of how far away the school is geographically.
Yeah.
Other colleges that you were applying to that were in your final consideration, and then why'd you choose Virginia Tech over those schools?
Yeah, so, well, because originally, like I said earlier, Notre Dame was sort of the school I wanted to go to, didn't get in, whatever. The major wasn't a great fit anyways.
Yeah.
So when it came down to it, after I'd gotten in everywhere, I'd visited most of the schools, but really there was three schools, Virginia Tech, Pitt, and Penn State. I had been waiting, but the decision was sort of an easy one. I sort of knew when I got accepted into Virginia Tech, that was probably the one I was going to. It was one of the, like, my favorites, not my favorite school, or out of the ones I visited, I guess it was my favorite. Every part about it, I knew the passion, the campus I love.
Yeah.
It was up and coming with my major. Like, it just seemed to check every single box I had. And really the only thing that was stopping me from committing right when I got the accepted letter was just I was waiting on Michigan because I knew it's a school where a lot of similarities there.
Yeah.
And it was sort of just if I'd gotten it, I would have given it the time to go visit. I got waitlisted.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
The day I got the waitlist letter, I said...
Putting it down it's for over. VT.
If I hadn't gone, let's say Virginia Tech, you know, wasn't an option for me. It was either between Pitt and Penn State.
Two great schools. Yeah, I mean,
it's
right.
A very bit weird because as like great schools, but very different. Penn State resembling Virginia Tech a lot, and Pitt
more of a city school. A
lot more city, but as city as it is, when I visited it, when I visited with my dad, it was really interesting. Like, it still was campusy. I don't know where I would have gone. Luckily, I didn't have to make that decision.
Yeah.
Right when I got it, but it was a school I got in mid-February, and I spent for a month. It was like, I think I know where I'm going to go. I think it's pretty clear. I started to slowly rep Virginia Tech more as time went on, and you know, mid-March, late March, whenever that happened, where Michigan waitlisted me, I said, it's over. I'm going to Virginia Tech 100% in.
And it seems like, you know, even though the decision was already made for you, it was the right one. And as we're sort of wrapping up here, I just want to ask, what's one sentence to describe Virginia Tech?
I would say, well, not really a sentence, but if I were to say a phrase, I would say, well, surprisingly passionate and upcoming. I've already touched on the passion, and everyone who goes there will forever, like, rep the maroon and orange and all that, and will be absolutely crazy for Virginia Tech everything. And then, yeah, up and coming. I mean, when it comes to the pro, like, even where it is with my major, it's only been there for 7 years.
Oh, it's really young then.
It's very, very young, and it's growing in size. They're building all these new academic buildings for, like, my major, there's a brand new one. Engineering, there's a bunch of brand new ones. And already, it's been established with those. The school's been around for 150 years, but it's getting a little bit more prestige. And, you know, as you mentioned it earlier, there's sort of the Southern Exodus coming from New Jersey. It's a school that more people are looking at because, like, people will look at, I know, like, Tennessee or those northern SEC schools where it's sort of has this environment where everyone knows, like, the party scene, like, the social scene is huge there.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, it's a little bit more laid back of a scene, but people also know that the academic side that comes with it. It's a really awesome academic school. It was a bit upsetting to see no one going there this year, but I know that there's a bunch of New Jersey people going there. But it's a place where Virginia Tech's at right now. It's a very exciting place knowing that I'm happy with where it's at now, but I also think there is so much more to come, and I think it's going to get so much better of a school, just improve in so many different ways. Like, it's a school where it's right in the brink, the sky's the limit. Like, the glass ceiling for what it could happen as a university is, like, right there for being broken, which is just an amazing thing.
And Ryan, I know the answer to this already, but just for anyone listening, to get into a formal, right out of your mouth answer, are you happy at Virginia Tech, and would you suggest that other students apply to it and eventually attend?
100%. If you're okay, or if you're someone from New Jersey or this area, if you're okay or comfortable taking the ride, or, you know, being a few hours away, I would 100% at least take a look at it. I mean, it has everything to offer, and it's a school that not as many people talk about, but if you take the time, everyone who I know has visited has said nothing but good things about it. So that's all I'm going to say. If you're thinking about Virginia Tech, take the time to visit it, please.
And I know from, I've heard just really more of the same as Ryan's saying, and we're basically just wrapping up here. Ryan, I want to say it was amazing having you on. Thank you so much for taking the time to, you know, talk about Virginia Tech. We're, for everyone listening, I would say definitely take the time to look at Virginia Tech. This is probably the most, even though all the previous episodes have been so positive, this really is almost overwhelming with all the great things Ryan has said. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up here?
Thanks. I mean, thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
I've been wanting to, you know, like, get the word out there for Virginia Tech and, you know, be an advocate, because it's, I feel like it needs a little bit more of a voice and a representation. I'm so glad to, you know, be that, even if it, like, through this podcast, like, I'm 100% on doing it, and I want to just, you know, get more people, bring more people in, and sort of be the catalyst for Virginia Tech.
Well, Ryan, I'm sure if anyone listens to this, you'll get at least a couple more applications.
Hopefully, that would be awesome.
Thank you so much again, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you.